Good afternoon and welcome to Good News Updates with Living Compassion. I'm pleased to be joined this afternoon by Tony, who is here to speak with us about virtual meditation groups. Welcome, Tony.
Thank you, Jen.
Hey, nice to have you.
It's great to be here.
I was thinking today, we just finished a There Is Nothing Wrong With You retreat at the monastery last week. And as folks were heading out, we were talking about different supports for practice. And someone was saying, I don't have a sitting group in my local area. And that just, so we were talking about that. And, it's certainly possible. I mean, any town of any size these days has a meditation group. But what we were looking at is how helpful it is if you're drawn to this particular practice to have a way to sit together in the privileged environment, in the, that has kind of all the elements that we all find so helpful. And so I was just reflecting on what a big sort of movement forward support it's been in starting the virtual meditation group. So we thought it would be really fun. We haven't talked about it for quite some time on Good News, so we thought it would be fun to feature it and remind people that that opportunity is out there.
Yes, yes. We don't have a sitting group in this practice where I live, and so it means the world to me. So I can participate several mornings a week. I can just roll out of bed, call a number, and meditate with other people in our sangha virtually.
That really is fun, isn't it? We have the great luxury at the monastery that I often joke with the mentor, I live in 1.5 minutes walking distance from the local Zen center, so I get to meditate every morning. But to have that ability wherever you are, to be able to do that, to start your morning with meditation, wow.
Yeah, I love it. I totally love it. I start my day 4 days a week with a virtual meditation group. And it's just what I do. I don't, deliberate about it. There's no, that's what I do. And it's been really great for people out in the, not in a monastic environment where I can meditate this time or I can meditate at that time. But I love the structure and the consistency. It's really meant a lot to me to be able to meditate at a regular time, those mornings, and then it spills over to every morning. So it's just been a great support for really creating a very consistent meditation practice.
So, Tony, it occurs to me, I wonder if you might just kind of walk us through how does it work? How does the program work?
All I have to do is call this certain number at the few minutes before, ideally about 5-4 minutes before the time, just call in, and there'll be a bell at the time the meditation starts, and there's a recording of perhaps monks and some others at the monastery, a recording reciting the daily recollection, then there's another bell, and then there's the sit, and then we have bells and the ending suffering recitation. So it's just like group would be anywhere in our practice.
Wow. Well, I really love that element of getting to say the daily recollection together. It's really, really powerful. And, as you were saying that, I just was seeing how one of the analogies we often use when we talk about how helpful it is to sit with other people is, so let's say I'm going to, I want to start running. I want to get into better shape. And so I say, okay, well, I'm going to, get up every morning and at 7:30, I'm going to go running. Okay, that's great. And that's going to work really well when I feel like it, when I'm inspired and all those things, right? But if I know that, quote, I'm not always going to feel like it, basically, if I know that the resistance is going to kick up, which that ego resistance is always going to kick up when I'm making a commitment that is really, that my heart really wants to do, that's really going to support me. If I've said to a friend, hey, let's meet at the lamppost at 7:30 every morning, then the chances that I actually am going to do it morning after morning are much, much higher than if it were, quote, just me. And so when you were saying that, you know, that you don't, you know, yeah, you know you want to meditate, you're a meditator, you've been meditating a long time, but to have that support of it happens at this time, it's just, it's such a solid support, isn't it?
It is, it really is, because I used to, I really had a little bit of flexibility, so I could, well, I could eat breakfast first, or I could, you know, just check out something on the computer for a minute, or, you know, there could be something to get in the way. But now it's like, okay, if I want to do this, I need to be on the phone, you know, on time. And so I just love it because it makes it really, like I said, consistent. And like you were saying, it's like there's an accountability in a sense, just knowing that other people are doing it at this time. And I love imagining that, like it could be people all over the world meditating at this very moment that I'm meditating.
Wow. Yeah. That's so true. You dial into the number and you know you're with Sangha. And it's that beautiful place that we always have with Sangha where I don't know who they are. I don't even know their names. In this case, I don't even know what their socks look like, right? We often joke that on retreat, the only thing we know about someone is what their socks look like, right? We've all got our eyes cast down. We're not looking at each other. We're not. In this case, I don't even know what their socks look like. But there's that very deep connection, isn't there, that we're all stopping right now at this moment to turn attention to awareness, to practice turning to life, to being with ourselves in that very intimate way.
Yes, yes.
So, Tony, it sounds like there are a number of groups through the week that happen. I mean, a number of meditation times available to folks.
Yes, actually, there are about 8 times a week someone could call in and participate in a virtual meditation group.
You know, the other thing that occurs to me, and you might be able to speak about this as well, is that means we've got 8 folks in the Sangha every week showing up to do this as part of their practice, to steward this opportunity for anyone who wants to show up.
Yes, because each call, there's a facilitator, someone that begins the call and begins the recording and then reads the Project Joy assignment for that day at the end of the meditation.
That's very fun. So that's an element of it too, is that you get to sit and then you get to have the Project Joy assignment as well.
Right. And I was thinking about this, how much I enjoy listening to someone read it. Like after I've been sitting, there's sort of the meditation, and then I'm in a somewhat, hopefully, centered state, and then hearing someone read it, and then I can record it. I can have my recorder there and record the person reading it. So those of us on the East Coast actually can, you know, have that. And then when the Project Joy radio show comes on, we've, you know, already kind of been looking at it and have it there. So it's just a great support for the Project Joy.
Oh, that really is fun. I actually hadn't realized that was an element of it as well, that the Project Joy gets to be woven right into that. And I love that piece of you get to sit with Sangha and then you get to share the assignment. And as you say, if you're on the East Coast, then you've heard that day's assignment for a few hours even before the call, before the Project Joy assignment. Or if you're on the West Coast, then you're getting to practice with it into the next day. Yeah.
Yes.
And I wonder, Tony, if you can, you know, one of the things that moves me so much about practice currently is how every program that there is in practice, in addition to, you know, the incredible dedication of Sherry, Ashwini, people like that, Bob, who are back there doing all of the IT for all of it, the program, there's a person who has stepped forward out of the depth of their own practice to make a commitment to steward that. And it occurs to me that there are quite a number of folks who, in this for this program are doing that. People who have understand the value of meditation, understand the value of coming together to do it in that way, and have been willing to commit their own time to that. And I know you're one of those folks. And I wonder if you might just speak to what impact you feel like that has for your own practice to be someone who does that.
Wow, that's a really good question. It reminds me of that, you know, we will do for the love of others what we won't do for ourselves.
Yeah, perfect.
You know, before I had a consistent meditation practice, you know, I wasn't as consistent. But there's that commitment to show up for my responsibility to facilitate a group, and I'm ready. I mean, I'm up, and I've got everything ready, the computer, the phone, you know, because it feels like an important responsibility, and I really want it to go well. I want to show up for people, and I want to be there for, you know, people are going to call, and they're going to be expecting a group, and, you know, I want it to be there for them when they call, and it's being of service just always, I feel like I get so much out of it, and it really strengthens my commitment to practice, and I'm always learning something new, and it just makes it all more, I don't know how to say it, but it's more significant when I'm doing it for others than if I'm just on the receiving end. Everything's kind of heightened.
And you know what I love about that, Tony, that I'm not sure I can say it, and I've never quite seen it until you were articulating that, that we will do for the love of others what we would not be willing to do for ourselves, and there's a way in which what you describe is the wisdom of realizing that I so much want to show up for myself in this way that I'm going to commit to showing up for, quote, others. Right? That's that sort of intuitive wisdom of, well, that's how I'm going to be able to keep the commitment to Tony, is by committing in this larger way. I just love that.
Yeah, because I know I might not totally do it if it's just for me, but I know I want it, and I want to do it for me, so I'm going to commit to doing it for somebody else so I can do it for me.
Yeah, oh, that's so lovely. That's so lovely. Tony, we're at just about at the hour already, hard to believe. But was there anything else you wanted to add in before we end?
I would just like to really encourage anyone to try it, you know, to really try it once or twice and just see how wonderful it is and get that experience.
Thank you. And that reminds me that it's not a program in the sense that you need to sign up for it, is it? You're not.
Right.
Yeah, there's not a fee
and
to it.
No
there's just, it's just there.
Yeah.
Okay, perfect. Thank you for adding that in. Well, it's been a pleasure speaking with you this evening. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you so much, Jan. Thank you.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Take care, Tony. Bye-bye. And Michael, we'll turn it over to you and Sherry.
Wonderful. Thank you, Jen, and thank you, Tony. Good afternoon, and welcome to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Good afternoon, Sherry.
Good afternoon, Michael. How you doing?
How are you doing?
I'm good. Yeah. Stand warm.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
And you?
So that? Yeah. Plenty warm enough. I just laugh. In that kind of whatever way, you know. I'm sure there's no global warming. we've just had the wettest year in history, and now the Bay Area is at 100 degrees. No, I'm sure everything is fine. There's nothing to worry about. Gosh.
Yeah.
Just
sobering.
Insane.
Yes.
It is really sobering. It is.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
So.
Yes.
And of course, the place that I go to with this is, and it's not bad for us. You know, it's a little uncomfortable. But there are places where people are dying. And
yes.
So it's not, yeah, it's sobering. Yeah. Saddening.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes. Yes. Yes.
And within that, fine.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
All true.
So how are
all
you?
True.
Still fine. All of those things are true. Yeah.
Yes. And I wanted to answer Jen's question about stewardship that she asked.
Oh,
me.
Lovely.
It was such a great question. And what dropped in is that when I steward part of practice, then it's mine. It's my practice.
Mm.
And, you know, as an American, I'm well-trained with mine.
Uh-huh.
And you know, I want to take responsibility for it and do my part, you know, as Tony said, to make everything go as well as possible, knowing that I don't have any control. And yet there's a lot of willingness and love and commitment there.
Yes, and it's different than paying for something, right? The ownership
yes.
that comes from
yes.
putting your time, your energy, your heart, your love into it, the ownership that you take of that is a whole different thing than I went down and bought it and brought it
yes.
home with me.
Right. Yes. Yes, exactly. Exactly.
Yeah, you really want to take care of it because it means something
mm-hmm.
to you.
Yes, yes, and it was a huge gift to me when I found it, and if I can make that gift available for the next person when they're ready to find it, then that's lovely.
It really is. It's the it's a debt that can only be repaid with the same coin. That's the way my
yes.
teacher talked about it. And
yes.
I was just telling people at the recent There's Nothing Wrong With You retreat that that is the exact reason that I have devoted my life to this, because I was truly dying when I came upon this practice. And I feel quite certain that had I not found this practice, that's exactly what would have happened to me. And so in every way, not just in a, you know, sort of a dramatic or it saved my life. No, it actually did, because I really
yes.
had no interest in living the life that I had before practice. It clearly was not worth it. And so,
mm-hmm.
as you say, for anybody who comes along in that same place, I want it to be here for them the way it was for me, because people devoted themselves to making it available. So, yep, I'm right there with you.
Lovely.
It's an honor.
Anything else you'd like to? Yes, yes, an honor indeed.
Mm-hmm.
Anything else you'd
that's
like
it.
To add before we go to announcements?
No. I'm ready for announcements, by golly.
Okay. Practice weekends at the monastery offer an opportunity to get away from the daily routine and deepen support for awareness practice. From Friday evening group with the guide to Sunday morning group with the community, participants enjoy practice activities and guidance in the peace and beauty of the monastery grounds. A practice weekend is coming up July 14th through 16th.
Mm-hmm.
Reflective Listening Buddies is a powerful weekly support for conscious, compassionate awareness, requiring participants to show up to practice being present. The next quarter begins July 15th.
Mm-hmm. That's a do not miss it, isn't it? The mornings with the mentor, or the, you know, meals with the mentor, that sort of thing, they're just some that are not to be missed. And that Reflective Listening Buddies is a life changer. It really
yes.
is.
Yes, it's great practice.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Great practice. For these and other opportunities, visit schedule.livingcompassion.org. And if you'd like to talk with Sherry today, press *6 and then 1 to make guest show. And a 5-minute conversation on one topic is great. And I think we're ready for our first caller, Sherry.
All right. Perfect. Thank you.
You're welcome. First caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Kate calling from Seattle.
Hello, Kate.
What's new? Oh, well, I'm so excited. I just got back from that retreat you were just talking about, and it's so wonderful to walk back into so much support. I've already had 2 days of Project Joy and my reflective listening buddy this morning, and now I'm on the show, and it's just amazing.
So we are never alone, are we? If we're alone,
no.
It's because we're choosing to be alone.
Yeah. So it's just, I just want to say thank you. It's just so incredible to have so much support, and I'm so grateful for practice and all the thoughtfulness of all the programs.
It's something, isn't it? Because it's tough in the world, isn't it?
It is. Yeah.
It really is. There is so much support for being unconscious, and so much for effort, it seems to me, that's made to keep people in a place of there's something wrong, and fear and anxiety and overwhelm and stress. You know, it's just, it seems to be the main focus of society. And so to have the opportunity to have so much support for the alternative to that, to have that available to us, to know that we can turn to that every day, multiple times a day, if we choose to, is just good, helpful.
Well, it is. It's helpful and hopeful because mm-hmm. it's trying to change the patterns of the conditioned mind, when it's what you're immersed in all the time is...
Yes.
Can feel really overwhelming, and to have that kind of same amount of support available, if you know, through your programs, it's so helpful.
Kate, at this point, you can say our programs.
Yay!
It's official. It's official. You're one of us. Let's face it.
Well, I'm apparently not going anywhere, so that's good.
Good. That's very, very good. Yeah, well, and, you know, we can kid about that, but it's very serious, isn't it? Because when I said, you know, if somebody is alone, it's because they're choosing. And, of course, what I mean by that is they're listening to voices that want to isolate them and make them believe they don't belong and support is not for them and people don't like them and people don't want them around and you can't go there and you can't do that and that's too scary and whatever it is. And when a person, all the things come together for a person to get past that and to, first of all, to realize, to get it, how much we're all alike. You know, that nothing that goes on with you doesn't go on with me. And as soon as we get that, then well, of course we all belong. We're all exactly alike. Right? Right? And then we start stepping into, okay, all right, now how do we all take care of ourselves and each other?
Yes. And I've been having a lot of fun really just looking at all those beliefs and assumptions and working with that and having the tools to do that. So
it is fun, isn't it? It's exciting. It's interesting. It's not scary. Right? So I was conditioned to believe this. Huh. Wow. Well, I can see that's not true. Okay. I can let that go. And the voices, of course, start screaming and carrying on. And that's fine. That's okay, too. I can still let it go.
Yeah, and even when it does feel really scary and real, to have that experience and then make it through that and realize, oh, wow, it seemed like it. And sometimes it really seems like it.
Uh-huh,
but then
uh-huh.
you can see that it's not.
That's right. That's the fate, isn't it? The mm-hmm. back to Socrates, right? We know this is going to pass. Yep, this room is really, really, really dark. It is, and it's not always going. I'm not always going to be in that dark room. I've been there a lot, and I've gotten out of it every time. And I'm really not going to buy into this time is the one time I won't. It's just not true.
Yep, just not true.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm so grateful, and I just wanted to say hi. I made it back up to Seattle.
Made it home.
And I'm still tuning
in. you're having a lot better weather than we're having, and so there is that.
Yes.
Yes, you're not.
It is beautiful.
The retreat is not. Yeah, the retreat is not this week, so that was another good part of it. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, thank
All right.
you so
well,
much, Kate. Talk
thank
to you,
you
soon, I hope.
Okay, take care. Okay, bye-bye.
You too. Bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us, Kate. Yeah, fun to hear from people on retreat and see how that's benefiting people, Sherry.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, well, and that's a big part of what we're always talking about. It's what Tony and Jen were talking about. It's what you've been talking about. You know, we hear from, so there are a lot of people out there listening to us right now or who will listen to us on archives and have been perhaps for years. And every time they think about getting more involved with practice, the voices go crazy and talk them out of it. But every time somebody survives, you know, they work up the courage, right? They go on retreat and they come back and they report, not only was it not horrible, it was great. And when enough people have that experience, you know, it can kind of tip us over into the, all right, I'm going to risk it. Very, very good thing.
Yes, yes, it's great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And we have another caller here.
Okay.
Next caller, you are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Marianne from Canada calling.
We're going to get the whole There's Nothing Wrong With You retreat before it's over, I hope. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. I have to say that was some retreat. I'm still gliding on the feelings of acceptance and love that the retreat generated.
Good, good. I'm so glad. I'm gonna give you the hand signal here. You can yell. I'm signaling right now.
Yeah, I have to say that I want to encourage people who have feel like they have never understood what unconditional acceptance and love is to go to There's Nothing Wrong With You retreat and experience it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because I have to say that the container of acceptance and thoughtfulness of the program and everything, it is just so supportive for the journey.
Good. Good. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. It is, you know, one of the things that people will say after that retreat is that it's all wonderful, but one of the most amazing experiences is to be facilitated by people who are able to stay present for an entire week.
Yes, it was amazing to watch how they did that.
Yes,
experience how they did it.
Yes.
So it's sort of.
brings hope to all of us, right? I mean, a person really actually could live in that level of present moment awareness all the time. I'm watching these people do it.
I found it very inspirational. It made me go, oh, you know, I would really like to be able to do that. And I think being held like that and guided with that presence just is like an experience. You have to experience it. You cannot ever imagine it.
Right. It's the Mother Teresa, you know, come and see. We can't tell you what it is. We can't explain it to you, but you can come and see for yourself. Come and have your own experience of it. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's true. And that's very Zen, isn't it? So, you know, we could do my favorite, the avocado thing where, you know, you've never seen or heard of an avocado and I'm going to try to explain it to you. Well, that's just not going to work.
Yeah.
But as soon as you have your own experience of an avocado, then all I have to do is say avocado, and we both just smile at each other.
Yeah.
Right? Because we know.
Yes. And it was how you do anything is how you do everything. And in that during the week, you got to see that process played out again and again of... Mm-hmm. How to be present.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes. Yeah. And it's a skill, isn't it? It is something that we can see, we can recognize, we experience it, and we practice it. It's not some sort of magic that, you know, you fall into it or you don't. It happens to you or it doesn't. It is something that we can learn to turn our attention to and experience at will.
And so when you go, you take that away with you. And, you know, it was like, it's like the gift at the end of the road. There is a gift. And the gift is this wisdom and the skills to do it for yourself.
Yes, that's exactly it. And it's as simple and straightforward as learning how to put a recipe together or change a tire. Right? It's like that. We learn how.
Yes, it's there.
We learn how.
There is no big secret.
That's right. That's right. That's like that little video. The secret is there are no secrets.
Yes.
That's the big secret. Yeah. All right. And, well, thank you so much.
Well,
was there more?
Oh, I was just going to say, and deep gratitude for, you know, taking it on a long time ago to build this practice. You know, it really touched my heart, and I hope it will touch other people. And deep gyasho.
Me too. Gyasho to you, Marianne. Thank you very much.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us, Marianne. Great to hear another heartfelt story, Sherry, about practice and how it touches us.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, and the thing that, again, that I love so much about it is for us really to get that it's not something that happens to the special few. It's not. It's a practice. We go from here to here to here to here to here to here, and eventually we wind up here. And anybody can do it. Who wants to? We just have to do it. That's all.
Yes, yes, yes. And for me, the beauty of this practice is that someone could tell me theoretically that if I stopped desiring things, then I would be happy. But that's true. However,
yeah, that is.
I need to take a lot of baby steps along the way to get there.
Yes.
And so you mentioned the facilitation that can take me from my current desire in this moment that is causing me to suffer through that one, and then through the next one, and then the next one, and then the experience and the faith and the skill all grows from that.
Precisely. Precisely so. And when you were saying that, what dropped in is another thing that I love about it. So my favorite example of what you just said was Jesus said, love one another as I have loved you. Now, who doesn't know that's a good idea? But how do you do that? You know, love my neighbor as myself. Well, I can't stand a so-and-so, right? So so all of the truths, and there's this practice is not a better truth than any other truth, right?
Yes.
We're not saying that at all, because the same step-by-step applies. If you want to learn how to love one another as Jesus loved you, then you can do that practicing step by step by step by step, just the way you lined up with going beyond desire.
Yes.
It's the same process, and we can learn it, and we can practice it.
Wow. Wow. Mm-hmm. We are so lucky.
We are. We absolutely
we are.
Yeah.
And we're lucky, too, because we have more callers.
Oh, that is very lucky. Who do we have? Who do we have?
Here we go. Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Yes, this is Celia in Seattle.
Well, hello, Celia.
Hello.
How are you doing?
Sherry and Michael. I'm doing very well. I'm tickled to be talking to you after many years of not talking to you.
I know. And I didn't take it personally. I just...
Oh, good.
I didn't take it personally at all. So just so you know.
I'm reaching out in a situation that I'm finding difficult. And I said, Tuesday. Hey, wait a minute.
I know what happens on Tuesday afternoon.
Yes.
What's going on?
Well, I had a situation in a store where I felt that I overpaid for something.
Mm.
And so I've been looking at that and then saying, okay, now you need to pluck up your courage and go in and talk to this woman and explain to her why you now believe that you paid too much. And as soon as I started thinking that way, this incredible sense of pressure came up that if I don't do it, I'm a total washout and weak and, you know, can't...
loser.
I should just go... loser. Exactly.
Yeah.
Total
mm-hmm.
loser. Mm-hmm. So I've been going back and forth and doing... processing on this, and I thought, you know, I could really use some guidance.
Another opinion.
Another opinion and from somebody who can listen without giving advice. Because I don't want to be told, you know, yes, you really should go and do this, or no, you don't have to
no,
do that.
No, don't do that. Right, right. Well, let me ask you this. A couple of things about the content. How did you come to the conclusion that you paid too much for whatever this was?
Okay. I took a ring to be sized to the store. And when I picked it up after it had been sized down to the size of my finger, I noticed there was something scratchy. And I said, oh, this is scratchy. And the store owner said, oh, really? And I said, oh, well, maybe I didn't feel this when I bought the ring because it was so large that I couldn't feel the scratchiness. So I guess I better pay to have this taken care of. So I did. And when I mentioned to the other store owner where this first store where I bought the ring, the gentleman said, whom I've been dealing with many, many years, said, you know, a craftsman like that person, it's unlikely that he left a scratchy section. I suspect that the person who sized the ring actually left that. And uh-huh. It makes sense given the quality of the store where I bought the ring and the quality of the store where I had the sizing done. And all sorts of things have been coming up around this, like being taken advantage of and how quickly I wanted to pay to have the scratchy part taken care of.
That is an interesting piece, isn't it? That is an interesting piece.
Rising.
Yeah.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Like I didn't stand there and wait for her to say anything. I just said, I better pay for this and get this taken care of. So, I mean, I'm embarrassed these things that are coming up.
Well, howsomever, isn't that helpful to see? Do you suspect that this might have happened to you at other times in your life, this very process?
Oh, yes.
Mm-hmm. And that possibly it would have happened again and much more readily, easily, if you had not seen this in this situation?
Yes, and you know, Sherry, right now while we're talking about it, I just feel like crying.
Because?
When you said, don't you think that this could have happened again, if it hadn't have come up so brilliantly, don't you think this would have happened again? And I just felt so... Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. And maybe a kind of sadness over how often it has happened, and I haven't really seen it very well. I've just kind of...
At all.
I've tried to pass over it very quickly. I've seen it kind of out of the corner of my eye, you know, and, that's kind of weird, but, let's get on with it, and...
Yeah. And so, I know you're a longtime practitioner of awareness. Does it seem to you that this process is kind of how we see through ego, see through karma?
It must be because it's so specific, if you know what I mean. It's not like a theoretical thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What these to me are like are parables.
Mm.
You know, we could have the story of the woman who bought the ring. As a parable.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And she quickly jumped in to say, let me pay to have this fixed.
Mm-hmm.
And she didn't take the time for life to drop in another possibility for her. And so she paid that price. That would be a good parable. I mean, we could learn a lot from that. So she didn't wait to allow life to drop in other possibilities. She went for the karmic reaction, and this is what happened.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And we would all say, you know, whatever is going on, the moral of that story is you want to wait a couple of beats and see how life is going to unfold this, rather than letting ego, letting karma jump in to do what it always does.
Yeah. And that's why I don't want to move to this idea that, oh, well, now I need to go talk to her.
That's right. Because you can see that that would be the next chapter in the parable of the woman who bought the ring.
Yes.
Right? And then she leaped up. Is it leaped or leapt? She jumped up to go talk to the person.
Yes.
Yeah? When she could have waited to see what life unfolded.
Yeah.
And we don't know at this point, do we? That's all good parables end there, right? So we don't actually know. Did she go back and talk to the woman? Did it go well? Did it go badly? Was there another parable? Did she not? Did she just let it go? Did she decide that was the price of the lesson? Did she? We don't know what she did.
You know, one thing that I'm noticing with this particular situation, which is different from the way I've handled other things before, is just like calling you today, I've brought it up with other people and mm-hmm. let them know that I have this situation that I'm embarrassed about and don't quite know how to handle, and I'm finding that it's kind of being a way of connecting, actually, instead of just being embarrassed and keeping it to myself and saying,
right,
well, this
which
is something
what
I have
ego
to handle on my own. And
well, you have to keep it a secret. You have to be agonized over it, right? It has to go back and forth. Mm-hmm. Well, if you this, well, if you
yes.
that, well, if you do, if you don't, with you. So you have to suffer over it a great deal, and then it has to get filed in the, you know, the under the miserable, embarrassing situations that you have screwed up, which can be dragged out on any rainy day, right, to torture you with, right? And instead, you're looking at it. So if ego doesn't have the ability to embarrass us over things, to make us hide out and be isolated, then we really do have a very good chance of getting to a place of clarity and freedom over processes, situations that it's been able to torture us over.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
all
and
right.
That's what I want.
Very
it
good.
Isn't, yeah.
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, and so that's it. It's a koan, isn't it? And you're
it
sitting
is.
With the koan. Yes, yes. And at some point, you will know, because life will drop in the clarity, and you'll be present for it.
Okay. It's like throwing a pebble into water and having the circles going out and out and out.
Yes.
That's how
yes.
this one feels to me. It's not,
yes.
There's no kind of end to it somehow. I don't, it's sort of
well,
weird.
I would say there's no answer.
Yes.
Right? Ego loves answers. And so under these circumstances, that's why we have laws, right? Well, under these circumstances, the right answer is this. And over
yeah.
here, the right answer is this. And when we start paying attention to life and how life actually works, we know it doesn't happen that way.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's
all right.
Much
great to hear from you, my dear. Much kinder.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank mm-hmm. you so much, Sherry. Okay.
You are so welcome. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us, Celia. Great to hear from old friends, Sherry.
Yes, it is. And we're hearing from the northwest corner of our country.
Yes.
Right? It's all up there in the Seattle, Vancouver. It's a hotbed of awareness there.
Yes, yes, I can hear that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Sherry, we're going to hear from our sponsor, and then we'll be back to talk with more callers.
Good, thank you.
You're welcome.
skies would you fly? How wide would you open? What would you sing if you gave voice to your beautiful heart?
This great song by Trish Bruxford Culligan invites us to give voice to our hearts. Simply Celebrate offers you a variety of ways to express your heart, and one of those is by celebrating the people you love. Our one-of-a-kind customized celebration books are like magic mirrors that reflect all of the laughter, adventures, and delight that friends and family share. Clients tell us that this is the best gift ever. Give voice to your heart and give a gift of love that lasts a lifetime. Visit simplycelebrate.net and turn ordinary days into an extraordinary life.
Welcome back to Open Air, and we have another caller, Sherry.
Okay.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Sarah, and I am from Roseville and also an attendee from last week's retreat. Hi, Sherry.
Hi there. How are you doing?
I don't think I could be any better. I am blessed beyond measure.
Wow.
Yeah.
And nothing wrong with that, huh?
No. No. I had a wonderful time, but there are a couple of things that I wanted to say.
And okay, good.
The first thing about the retreat is there was such a sense of community and peace and joy and love and compassion that just, and nobody talked to each other, and you weren't looking at each other, but it was, you could just feel the love and the compassion emanating sort of from each other. And the facilitators in the group, we got to talk to them, and they, the same thing. And the thing that it occurred to me like 2 days into it that if I want what they have, I've got to do what they do. And
that's very wise.
Yeah. I don't know where it dropped in, right? Because it didn't come from me. and the jewel in that, in the retreat, is that you showed me how to do it, how to do what you do to get what you have.
Yes. Yes. Isn't that the best?
I'm sorry?
Isn't that the best?
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. Yeah. It was like reading an owner's manual to me.
Yes.
Like yeah. Here's Sarah's owner's manual, page one. It was really enlightening.
Uh-huh. Gosh, wouldn't it be wonderful if every baby born that would be kind of the first gift, is their owner's manual. Now, this is how to unconditionally love, accept, and care for this human being.
Exactly, yes.
Mm-hmm.
But unfortunately, we don't get that.
We didn't get those. No, we didn't get those. But the wonderful part about that is that at the time in our lives when we know we really want that,
mm-hmm.
we find it.
Yeah. Yeah, that's amazing too.
It is amazing. And every one of us, and I think that this is probably true with every path that someone is on who loves that path and feels like it's their path, they can tell you the kind of magical story of how that happened for them. I was going along and I met this person, or I read this book, or I saw this thing, or whatever it is, and there they are.
The
perfect time.
It's like the backstory is miraculous.
Yes. Yeah, precisely.
The second thing I'd like to say is that the food was absolutely fantastic.
Oh, good. I know Sequoia is is listening in right now, and she's got a great big smile on her face because she loves to make sure people have great things to eat. So that's very good.
And, you know, I'll tell you, though, the first time I read the first menu, I was like, oh, dude, seriously? but it was wonderful.
Oh, good. That's
and
good.
Today, I got lucky enough. I was feeling kind of grumpy, kind of because I've been riding this cloud, right, until this morning. Kind of a leftover good fuzzy feeling from the retreat, and I kind of felt grumpy, and I kind of projected some stuff onto my husband, and it took me about 2 hours to get out of it, but I kind of realized it. I kind of caught it out of the corner of my eye.
Yeah.
If I'm grumpy, it's because I'm choosing not to be happy.
Yes.
And
you know, since it's a husband, if you're grumpy with your husband, it's because you're not choosing love.
Hmm.
Right? And the happiness is then the kind of the byproduct of the love.
Right. And I kind of had to follow it back to that. Follow it back to the instance. Follow it back to the kernel.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And apply the tools.
Yes, exactly.
Uh-huh.
That's what I was going to say. You gave me the tools to do that.
Yeah, isn't that? And the, you know, people will, well, I mean, you left the retreat on Saturday, right? And now it's Tuesday, and you've already fallen into grumpy. Well, wasn't that kind of, no. That's exactly, in fact, we talk about it, right? Okay, when you leave here, conditioning is going to come at you with, you know, no, your life, you have not completely transformed. You're not going to live happily ever after. What we have in practice is the tools to begin to welcome every life circumstance as an opportunity to see it, see through it, let it go, be free.
Exactly.
Everything, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
We know how to do it.
Thank you.
You are so welcome. It makes me so happy. Is your husband pretty happy that you went?
Yeah. He's like, you
Yeah, our loved ones, when they start seeing the benefit for them of us doing practice, they get very supportive. We have couples where either he or she, whichever, you know, whoever the other person is, says, now, isn't it about time for you to find another retreat? Which means, right, my tool belt, I keep leaving my tool belt somewhere, and they know it's time for me to get a little booster shot here. And so, okay, dear, well, how about if you sign up for a retreat? That's when we know it's working.
Yeah. Yes.
Mm-hmm. All right. Thank you so much, Sarah.
Thank you.
Good night.
Good night. Bye.
Thanks for joining us, Sarah. Sherry, we're not paying these TINW.
No, not not a dime. No, this
okay.
is
just
yeah.
want to check.
We didn't threaten them or anything. Yeah. Isn't that good?
Yes.
Their own free yes. will.
Yes. Yeah. Wonderful. Wonderful. It's great to hear the stories.
Yeah.
And we have another caller. Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hey, Sherry and Michael, it's Jen in Rhinebeck calling in to represent the Northeast.
Hi, Jen.
That's right. Get the northern opposite coast of the continent. Okay, good. What's going on in your world?
Oh, well, I was just calling because I've been sort of looking a little bit at participation lately and recognizing that I'm kind of like, I'm not in the dark room, but the dimmer switch is being dimmed.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not been dramatic.
Mm-hmm.
I've been calling into the Project Joy radio shows, but you know, like never putting myself in the queue, or, you know, it's like I'll record the assignment every morning, but then never really revisit it again during the day.
Mm-hmm.
And just like the, you know, the lights are slowly going out.
Yes.
And isn't it fabulous that you're watching it happen?
Yes.
Right? Instead of coming to 3 years or 5 years in the future with a voice going, what in the world have you been doing? You know, you're watching it happen. You're seeing the process of the dimmer switch in action.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep. And it's noticing, obviously, then that, you know, there's a certain level of I was starting to feel on the outside of things. You know, that separation was setting in, that perception of separation. It was, but, you know, like I couldn't have the joy that
really
all of these people were talking about on the call tonight about that retreat.
Yeah.
Like that, oh, yeah, I'm going to have to get back to a retreat if I want to feel that. And it's like, oh, wait a minute. No, I don't. I just have to listen to them with my attention.
Yes. 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 And you're right there, aren't you?
I'm right
having
back there.
Their experience, just so excited for them and feeling it all for yourself and sharing the experience.
Exactly.
Yes. Yes.
Yep.
And you know, Jen, one of the things that you said, tuning into Project Joy every morning, well, every noon for you, but not putting yourself in the queue. And I thought this image just dropped in that when you put yourself in the queue, of course, the heart starts going boom, 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 a little, you know, beating a little harder. And it's like CPR, right, for to wake us up, you know, because and then, it, you know, you find out that you're unmuted and suddenly it's like, whoo, I'm really
then,
here.
Yeah, that's when it really kicks in for me. Yeah.
Yes, which is, of course, why it talked us out of putting ourselves in the queue. Right?
Yeah,
because
and
it's safe.
It's safe, and oftentimes I've found myself on Tuesday nights in the last few months having the radio show on, but I'm still working on an edit of an article for a client, or, you know, it's like background. So I'm like not really listening, but I'm participating because I've called in, you know, like there's,
yes.
It's been very interesting.
Check.
Give
I don't know why it's not working for me because I checked it off my list. Oops, that little ingredient of attention. Yeah.
Which is so interesting as I was reflecting on it in the last day or so. It's like in Feldenkrais practice, there's, you know, the whole practice is about bringing your attention to something and watching how that changes the effect of that thing on you. So it's like we're always breathing, but as soon as you bring your attention to the breath, you can change the quality of your experience of breathing. And it's like, oh, this is exactly the same thing. You know, this is, I bring my attention, I attend to the tools that I'm practicing with, then the quality of my life changes dramatically if I just do them.
Yes.
I'm just doing them. I'm not doing anything.
That's right. So you go to the gym. This is my favorite. And here's the person sitting there doing bicep curls, reading a magazine.
Yes, exactly.
And I think you could just go sit in your barca lounger and and read that magazine because it's really not doing that bicep any good at all.
Yeah.
And that's the kind of sabotage that ego just loves because there's the person probably faithfully going to the gym and getting no results.
And no results.
And then getting beaten up and talked into quitting because it doesn't work. You know, I went to the gym for a year. Nothing happened.
Yeah.
But how was I going to the gym? Was I bringing all of my attention to awareness of the process? Because if I had been, I'd have been getting some results.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. So the other thing that's been dropping in too then is a lot of gratitude for everybody else's participation too, because that's carrying me along, you know, as I've as the dimmer switch has been going on. It's like listening to, you know, at least having it in my, you know, in my field to some degree. It's like, oh, wait a minute. Oh, that's right. I want that. You know?
Yes.
Yeah,
yes.
That's what
yes.
I want. And because, like the other caller said, I know how to get it. I just can pay attention.
Yes. 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 Exactly. And the miraculous quality of I remember this. I was listening to a Christian minister at one point, and he said, "Faith can't be taught; it can only mm-hmm. be caught."
Oh yeah.
And I just love that because that's yeah. exactly right. It's exactly right. So, and that's the experience. Right.
Yeah.
As soon as attention goes to practice, my practice, your practice, anybody's practice,
yeah.
literally anybody's. Right. If I really attend, I'm just going to go right there, right to
yeah.
center.
Yeah.
Just no way around it. Which explains why ego is so devoted to controlling our attention to make sure that doesn't happen to us.
Right.
Because it's addictive, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It is addictive, that center
yeah.
business.
It's true. It's
yeah.
true.
Yeah.
Totally. And I'll second what one of the earlier callers said about the experience. My experience at the monastery was very similar, that it was my first experience of unconditional love. And it actually took me a couple of retreats to even understand that that's what that was. You know,
what is this thing? What is this
yeah.
feeling?
Yeah, why do I feel so
that's
good
great.
Here? I don't understand this. Like this,
uh-huh.
it was
yeah.
so outside of my experience, or I don't know. Like it's probably not outside my experience. I just hadn't recognized it before. So
you hadn't put it together, right?
I hadn't put it
yeah.
together.
Yeah, because even though we have the experience, one of the things that is so, to me, so important and powerful about going on retreat is that it's the duration. You know, so
yeah.
I can drop into an experience for 30 seconds or 5 minutes, and it can
yeah.
be really powerful, but it's not, it doesn't have the lasting power. It's that, what you just said, I don't really get what it is. I don't
yeah.
get that it's a thing. You know,
yeah.
it's a place, it's a process. But when I'm in it day after day after day after day, then everything starts shifting around, and it's undeniable that that is my experience. And what it is unmistakable. So
yeah.
now I've got a whole different relationship with where I'm going.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And with what's possible.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I know, it's my experience. It's what Michael was talking about a little bit ago. You know, it's not somebody telling me what's possible. It's my experience.
Right.
I know this experience. Now, it's just repeat. Now, I want to
yep.
repeat it. And in the beginning,
yeah.
of course, we do. We have to look for it. Because
yeah.
I didn't really get where it was, the exact
yeah.
location. So it takes a little while. We repeat, and pretty soon we go, aha, there it is. Yep, and every
mm-hmm.
time I turn my attention there, yep, there it is. Ah,
mm-hmm.
now I'm feeling it there. Now I'm in these trees, and I'm feeling it. Now I'm in these mountains. Now I'm looking at the ocean, and I'm feeling it. Now I'm with this group of people, and I'm feeling, aha, okay.
mm-hmm.
It's everywhere all the time, isn't it? Now
yeah.
I'm looking for a whole different thing, right? Now, oh, it's
yeah.
everywhere. But I can't find it everywhere. So what's
yeah.
going on that I can't find it everywhere? Oh, that's an exciting quest.
Yeah, or when I encounter particular content where it doesn't seem like it is going to be found there at all.
Yes, yes.
And it's like,
precisely.
Where, yeah.
Where is it?
Here?
I know it's here.
Yeah.
I know it's here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
yeah. Mm-hmm. I love it.
So thank you very much to everybody.
Well, you are so welcome. I just felt that dimmer switch turning in the opposite direction.
Right.
Lights on, lights on, lights on, brighter, brighter, brighter. Very nice.
We're having quite the firefly display right now. So that's what's going on. It's all lit up over here.
Talk about some lit up people, huh?
Right.
All right. Thank you, Jen.
Thank you.
Take good care.
Gotcha.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us, Jen. And I guess we're all lit up now, Sherry.
We are all lit up. What are we to do? We just have no choice. We just have to be lit up. Son of a gun. I love it. Yeah, yeah. They just make like fireflies, and we'll just twinkle.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you so much, Michael. Yeah.
Thank you, Sherry. Pleasure.
Let's get together again. Oh, see you soon, Michael.
See you soon.
Aren't I going to see you soon?
Yes, this weekend.
Yes, I am. Okay, very good, very good, very good. All right, take care. Bye-bye.
Take care. Thank you, Sherry. Good night.
Good night.